I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, panelists discuss the deadly Athens police shooting in Beechwood and the latest from the state capitol. Those topics and more coming up. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. I'm joined by my regular panelists, Lee Shearer from the Athens Banner-Herald, Blake Odd from Flagpole, and Gwen O'Looney from WXAG. Athens has made it national again, unfortunately, due to a deadly police shooting that happened in Beechwood. I know, Blake, you were able to attend the on-scene sort of, not presser, but they were on scene and spoke to the media the evening of the shooting.
I guess I would probably consider it a press conference. It was just that because of the hour, there weren't that many people there, but media, I mean. But this comes right on the heels of the settlement with Taylor Salters. So, you know, the police are already in the news. But on Friday evening, about 6:30, police were called to a residence in the Beechwood neighborhood in reference to a stolen vehicle. There was a suspect who was acting erratically, apparently, and he had what police believed was a handgun. And they spoke to him, left, continued their investigation, discovered that this person had a conviction for armed robbery, which, as a felon, it's illegal for him to own a firearm. So they returned to the residence to speak to him about the firearm issue. He got into an SUV and drove a short distance away to a parking lot off Westlake Drive, got out of the vehicle, and had the weapon pointed at his head.
And, an air pistol, not...
Well, it turned out to be an air pistol, right. And but they didn't know that at the time. And if you saw a picture of this weapon, you would not know that it was an air pistol. Usually an airsoft gun has an orange muzzle, and this did not have the orange-tipped barrel.
It was very realistic.
Yeah. Right. And so about 15 officers ended up responding. They cordoned off the area, you know, tried to contain it, tried to talk the guy down, had a trade negotiator there with the bullhorn telling him, drop the gun, we'll work this out. This goes on for about 20 minutes, and eventually he walked towards the officers and pointed the airsoft gun, which they thought was a real gun, at him, and seven of the officers opened fire and killed him. And all of this came out over a period of a couple days. It was really Sunday until we had, you know, most of the details. We still don't know why he did what he did, you know, whether he was... you know, had some kind of mental issue, or, you know, we don't know anything like that.
We don't know what his motivation was.
That hopefully will be part of the GBI report that'll probably be coming out, I would think, late next week or maybe the week after, because GBI was called in to investigate, which is standard for any officer-involved shooting in Georgia. But Chief Spruill is... defended these officers and said, you know, that they had reasonable fear for their life, and so their actions, he believes, were justified.
All right. I want to say first that I really appreciate that the standard of transparency set by Freeman has been followed in this case, and I think that Spruill was wise to continue that in our community, and I'm sure that... that he will be appreciated and better accepted because he has kept an open, transparent look at this. I would like to see the CAM videos from their first visit with that family, because I think this was a family dispute. I think this was a young man in trouble, mentally ill.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I should have said earlier, this individual is named Thomas Swinford, 34 years old. Last known address was in Grovetown, and he was in town apparently visiting relatives, and they did have some kind of domestic dispute. But
that's right. It was a and we all know that family domestic disputes are one of our most dangerous visits for police. But I think mental illness is often the key to these kind of, they almost become assisted suicides because these people are erratic and they're not making sense and they're going to.
Suicide by cop, they call it.
Suicide by cop. And just like with Edward Wright, and that I don't want our police to be put in that position. And I think that, I don't know, I think the man was mentally not correct. You know, I think he had problems.
I mean, that's a reasonable assumption to make, I think. But I also want to point out that we don't know. I mean,
That's right. And we can't, as Chief Sproul said, seven people independently and simultaneously shot.
He made that statement basically pointing out that seven people all decided that they were in danger, that their lives were in danger all the same time.
As far as they knew, he was going to shoot them.
Yeah. He had
but they were all behind cars.
Well, a bullet can pierce a car
and 50, door. And they were 50 to 60 feet away. But, I mean, I just feel like that we need to be in a situation where we figure out how to lower the confrontations rather than having 15 plus people with sirens and cars.
Well, Sproul was asked about, you know, the kind of massive response, and he said that was standard because what you don't want is you don't want
someone
gunman running around in a neighborhood, right. Which this is a residential neighborhood, so you have to keep him contained.
Right. The police were also alerted that he had a gun. So that's the thing.
They knew he had a gun the whole time.
Right. They didn't think that he was, say, just unarmed and all of a sudden
right.
he had this. They were prepared because he had a gun.
Well, that's what
and
they
wasn't
thought.
Supposed
I mean,
to have
they
it.
Had
well,
seen
he
what
had,
they thought was a gun.
He had a replica.
Yeah.
A
right.
very realistic yeah. looking replica.
It doesn't
replica.
Matter. They
right.
thought it was a gun.
And I
that's,
understand.
That's
right.
what matters.
I get
right.
it.
But I really would like to see that 6:30 cam video, whether or not this was preventable, whether or not, you know, our laws right now that allow everybody to carry a gun, whether there could have been a question, do you have a license to carry that gun or whatever, was this preventable?
This is not a gun that he was carrying.
Well, they couldn't question him about the gun initially because anybody can have a gun in their house. You don't even need a permit for that, I don't believe. So what are they?
You don't need a permit to own a gun?
You need one to carry it as a concealed weapon.
Why are we talking about permits and guns when he had an air pistol?
Is Gwen saying they could have found out that it was an air pistol if they questioned him about the gun? But I don't think they could have until they found out that he was a convicted felon, which was only after they left, and that's why they
right.
went back,
right.
was to talk about the gun, but then he right. left before they got a chance to talk to him about the gun.
Right. Well, you know, my point really is that I like to look ahead. I'd like for us to think through this and figure out what might have been preventable here. And I think everybody else would like that, and the police or whatever. Because if we don't do that, then this could happen over and over because more and more people are going to be carrying guns in our society, especially in Georgia. And so we need to be in a situation where we know how to determine the danger of the gun, the appropriateness of the person carrying it, et cetera. And those kind of, if they were aware the man had a gun earlier, then it's surprising, and he was a guest and it was a family dispute, then to me it seems like it would have been appropriate to find out. And the other thing is they can find out our driving record just by calling in. And somewhere along that line, they found out. So I'm just wondering if maybe we could have done a better job of backup there. And I'm not second-guessing these guys. God bless everybody. This was a hard situation. I'd like to see us prevent situations like this.
If this was going to be prevented, it would have to have happened a long time before they pulled those triggers.
Yes.
I mean, I don't.
Right, back at the home. That's why I'm interested in the 6:30 cam videos. What happened at that home that might have led, that might teach us?
I don't even know that they had their cameras turned on when they went to the house initially.
They're supposed to have their cameras on whenever they encounter. Yeah, they're supposed to have their cameras on.
That's such a difficult situation because they fired, obviously thinking that this man is coming at them with a weapon, even though it ended up not being a real gun. Looked like a real gun. He wasn't putting it down like they commanded him to. And they're, I'm sure, reeling because they did what they thought in that split second was their best option.
It kind of helps me understand these accounts that I've read about in other places where someone is getting shot by a lot of policemen all at once. And here it kind of makes sense. I can see that how that would happen and not being any big conspiracy or like that. Just here comes the gun.
And they reacted very quickly.
Yes.
Because had it been a real gun and he started firing, they obviously would have needed to react that quickly.
I'm just saying that we need to give them the kind of training that they need in situations where they're dealing with mentally ill people. And
we also, we don't know that this guy was mentally ill. I mean, we don't know that.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, it is still under investigation, and more details will be coming.
So right.
I do like the fact that we had access for media as
soon
as they could. Oh, yeah,
transparency.
So
yeah. I'm delighted that Spruill has shown his...
And it's great that, you know, he showed up at almost midnight on a Friday night to talk to, a couple of reporters.
Of course. And he did a great job at the press conference.
But I will quibble with that because he would not, on Friday night, he would not answer the question about whether it was a gun or not. They kept saying what they believed to be a weapon, and I kept asking, okay, so was it a gun or not? Was it a gun or not? And they wouldn't answer me, and of course it turned out not to be one. Right. But, you know, I wish they could have.
Yeah, that would have.
I don't understand why they couldn't have answered that question on Friday night. As opposed to waiting until Saturday.
Did you ask that at the press conference?
Huh? Like about five times, yeah.
Oh, I mean, but on the next press conference, the big press conference.
Well, the one on Sunday we already knew.
Yeah, I know. So, I'm just wondering why they couldn't reveal that. I agree.
Another difference here, I don't know how important this is, but in the Edward Wright situation, there were two police officers, and what happened was Edward Wright and one of these police officers got into a struggle, and he took his gun. Edward Wright took the police officer's gun away from him, or was trying to, anyway.
Right.
But there were not seven police officers there. That might have been made a difference there, I wonder.
Well, you wonder if he would have acted differently, maybe. I don't know.
Right. Redo Edward Wright would take a long time.
Yeah.
Well, the GBI, of course, took over the investigation as they do when police officers are involved in a shooting. So, you know, we're just waiting for more information to be released.
Right. And according to GBI, there have been 17 police shootings of people this year already in Georgia.
And luckily for Athens, this is the first one in quite a while.
Right.
So, I mean, when was the last one? It was probably about 10 years ago.
That's what I'm thinking, or more.
Where the guy had the knife to the other guy's neck. That's the last one I can remember.
What about the guy over at the Golden Pantry on
right. But he didn't die.
No. I'm sorry. It didn't count then.
Sorry. Well, I mean, we were talking about killing.
Obviously, we expect to get as much information as they are willing to release, and they seem very willing to release the details once they're confirmed.
And for our listeners, they can go on Facebook, Athens-Clark County Police Facebook, and it has all three of the videos and other information. So
they can know what we know right now.
See what happens.
Right, and they will update it as well. So we will move on now to the latest at the state capitol and what's going on with our lawmakers as the time winds down.
Who knows?
No, actually it's gearing up because we've had crossover day.
Right, right.
And so now we know what was defeated and what was passed.
Maybe.
We're running out of time.
Right, but
there are ways they
forward.
Can sneak things in.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you got to watch them every moment. Yeah. I agree.
Right.
The voucher bill is apparently dead.
Well, that'll be back.
Yeah.
You mean this year? You think it'll
not
be back this year?
Not this year.
No, not this year. It was defeated in both the Senate and the
Certainly.
Yeah. And I was delighted that the Metro North Georgia County, 15 counties and 92 cities that are working together for water, were trying to get a inter-river basin transfer. And that's something that our community has to really watch, because we're where they want to go. We're what they want to draw from. And we've done a good job of building a small reservoir that has accommodated our needs. We've reduced our use, et cetera. But this was defeated this year. But that it's almost every year that somebody somewhere is trying to get that transfer between the river basins, and that is right. Would be very bad for us.
Well, stick a straw in the Oconee and suck it dry. Feed Metro Atlanta.
That's right. Yeah.
They've been trying to do that for 30 years.
That's right. So. And they have not reduced their usage. They haven't shown the level of change that we have been willing to commit to and done. So
Atlanta's too big to not really take as many measures as they possibly can.
Right.
Because there's just so many people and so many resources that they'll need.
Well, they're so reliant on Lake Lanier,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which was not even originally built for to provide drinking water. Which is part of what the Water Wars lawsuit is all about. If and when that is ever resolved, Atlanta may not be able to take all of the water out of Lanier that they're currently taking.
Right.
It's not hard to reduce your water consumption and not even notice very much, which is what we've done. I mean, do you know what percent that we've reduced our water reduction?
Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah, we surpassed.
And do you even notice it?
It was like 30 or 40% during the drought. We cut it from like 20 million gallons a day down to like 12, and it never went back up.
Right. We surpassed the conservation goals that we made when we built Bear Reservoir, Bear Creek Reservoir.
And it's much cheaper than building a reservoir.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah. But, although now the utility department is talking about maybe needing to build a second one at some point.
But they will always will. Yeah.
That's 20 or 30 years down the road.
Right,
so.
I think that's a good point, Lee. We don't miss it. Doing this, you don't miss the water that you're not using. It doesn't seem like
we're not hurting.
People just really got in the habit of doing stuff like, you know, not watering their lawn, not washing their car, you know, I mean, things like that.
I contribute to that one.
You know, was banned for like a year or two, you know, and then people got out of the habit and they never kind of went back to it. I mean, I hardly ever wash my car.
Right.
You know, it's just a waste.
And it was also neighbor monitoring. That played a huge role in that. It was very effective.
And people narking on each other. Yeah. Yes.
Over time, we replace toilets and so forth, shower heads with more efficient ones.
That's right.
And the tiered pricing that the commission put into place, where if you use more than your allotment, they charge you out the yin yang for it. You know, once you get a shockingly high water bill, then that's a wake up call that you need to.
You won't
reduce
repeat
your
that.
Water use.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, look at that toilet. Listen to that toilet, man. I tell you. But the other thing I was really glad to see defeated was that local design and zoning regs control that they were really release of all the developers. That was really important to me to get rid of that.
But let me take I hear that side, but I also hear the argument that Spencer Fry and others make that there's an element of this that's about affordable housing. Now, locally, Oconee County passed the rule, or a law, I guess it was, that you can't build houses on slabs. And that if you can't build houses on slabs, your houses are going to cost a good bit more, several thousand dollars more, less affordable. Other jurisdictions, other wealthy jurisdictions like Oconee County, which is like number 4 or 5 wealthiest county in the state, have passed similar.
Right. But Lee, you just made the argument for local ordinances. Then what this was doing was taking away the right of local governments to set the standards in their community.
But it might make it easier for me to buy a house in Oklahoma County.
Spencer Fry might be the exception because he works for Habitat, and I know that he is actually concerned about affordable housing, but I guarantee you the other people who are backing this bill, that is not
right.
the reason.
Well, not Jared Moore.
I'm not going to argue with you about
this is all
that.
This is all about the home builders lobby and the concrete lobby.
That's right.
You know,
realtors.
Right. And I can tell you from having a house that's on the slab, that it has to be built right or you're in trouble because you cannot serve it related to your water and your other lines and stuff that usually are underneath the ground and protected.
But
it's
what
really
about
difficult.
A county that makes it hard, that puts in regulations that make it just too expensive?
If you really wanted...
What can
if
we
you
do
really
about
wanted
that?
To, well, it's not stuff like no vinyl siding. It's stuff like minimum lot size. It's stuff like minimum square footage for a house. That's really what is driving the cost. And if you're someplace, I don't know what Oconee County's exact rules are, but if your rule is you have to have at least a quarter acre lot, and your house has to be at least 2,500 square feet, that's what's keeping people out. It's not no slab construction. You know, it's the fact that every house has to be huge and on a big lot, you know.
Right. And I mean, those are the kind of things that our county is ready for. Our county is ready for small lots and small houses.
And that's
going
to come.
And you can do a quality job of building those. You don't need to lower your building standards.
Well, people are really tired of these huge houses on these tiny lots, and I think really want to see more reasonable-sized homes.
When I talked to the mayor, Kelly Gertz, about this, he said some of these regulations that would be no longer allowed are about safety as well.
Right, yeah. Now, the minute I saw who was testifying for that, I was aware that it was not good.
Who
but some good things passed,
it?
Too.
Who was testifying?
Jared York.
Yep.
Who's a
local home builder who's gotten embroiled in a number of disputes with neighbors over his practices.
He's very unpopular among some in some circles.
Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about a danger. House Bill 511 passed, and that is they're trying to push state control of transit, so that they would be in a situation where they're creating districts just like they've done with the T-SPLOS and that sort of thing, that districts that would control transit. And Athens-Clarke County is so far above the rest of our state in our transit. I mean, I'm for a statewide network of transit, but their control, I don't want them taking control of and lowering our standards.
Didn't Republicans used to be small government?
Yes, that's a
good
point.
They're in favor of local control until the locals do something they don't like, and you know they're a lot of this stuff is really just attacks on because cities tend to be run by Democrats, and a lot of this is really just partisan. It's really just attacks on cities because they're run by Democrats, then therefore they could never do a good job or be well run. So the state, you know, it's run by Republicans and they have to step in.
Or run an airport.
Right. Right, exactly.
Right. Now, when I say passed, I want y'all to be sure this is just crossover. It goes over to the Senate for consideration.
Yeah, none of this stuff is actually passed all the way
that's
through.
That's right, right. And then the rural broadband, that passed. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was
overdue.
That was one of Brian Kemp's campaign promises. We haven't touched on this one yet, but I got to bring up the abortion bill too.
Yes.
Banning abortion after 6 weeks.
Six weeks.
Which a lot of women don't even know that they're pregnant after 6 weeks.
No, there's no way. They think their period's late. They don't think they're pregnant yet.
When some lawyers think you could be prosecuted for a miscarriage under the language of this bill, which I don't understand that, but.
Well, and it's clearly unconstitutional. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but it's just so obvious that it's unconstitutional.
I think so, too.
You know, but, at least under the current law, I mean, who knows if someone were to challenge it and it got to the Supreme Court the way it's made up now, who knows what they would do, but...
Don't some of our southern neighbors have similar laws.
Somebody my else understanding is this is the most restrictive abortion law in this
in the
would
nation.
Be the most restrictive
in the
abortion law.
It's passed.
I think
it's been tried
Tennessee
in other places.
Is also trying
looking
to pass
at
something
it.
Very similar.
Right,
or,
they're looking yeah, at it. It's a,
considering
it's a,
something.
You know, when I was a senior at the University of Georgia, there was this really nice, wonderful young girl on my hall, and I came back from Christmas vacation, and she wasn't there, and she died of an illegal abortion. So I am a person who grew up very quickly that day and realized that people are going to seek these. They're either going to be able to have parents that support them in traveling to get an abortion to New York or whatever, or they're going to be in that back alley and they're going to die. And we used to have girls that were dumped out on the lawn at St. Mary's, you know, from bad abortions. And so I think that it's really hard for people to recognize what that restriction can mean for the health and the welfare of our young people in this state.
And another thing is you're putting women in the position where if they have a fetus that is not going to make it, you're basically forcing women to, you know, give birth to a stillborn child and to carry it to term, which seems incredibly cruel to me.
Yeah. But. Well, Georgia has a very high rate of stillborn births and
infant mortality.
And like I read a thing from the National Abortion Rights League that said that Georgia's the medical advice provided in the Georgia pamphlet that has to be read by people that are considering an abortion was 30% wrong, inaccurate.
This is such a serious topic, but I know that you wanted to also mention Athens has some good news,
right.
If we could mention that briefly.
Athens recycling program has been recognized nationally for the partnership we have with the carpet industry. And I don't know if everybody knows, but Ray Bulger, I think his name, or Bulger, or whatever, the carpet man in this state, is really a progressive man, and he's embraced us, and we're doing much better than a lot of communities with our plastic recycling.
So what are we doing with the plastic, and how does it involve carpet?
It's being used in the making of carpet, in the the plastic that weaves it together, and even in the fibers.
And we've got are we the heart of the national carpet making industry up in Dalton in that area? I know there's a lot of it there. Where else there is in the world. And meanwhile, recycling, particularly plastic, is just gone belly up in much of the nation because of China not accepting recycled plastic anymore unless it's very pure.
So we were going to end on a high note with Gwen, but now we end on a low note, Lee.
Literally.
Unfortunately, that is true. China's rejecting a lot of plastics. So that's all we have time for today. I do want to thank my panelists, Gwen O'Looney, Blake Odd, and Lee Shearer. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, WXAG, or the Banner Herald. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.